Blog Talk Radio.
Attention, Army Wives, fall in. You've come to the right place. Army Wife Talk Radio is the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind, providing the latest reports, stories, interviews, and more to encourage and empower you on your military spouse journey. For Army Wives, by Army Wives. Now, here are your hosts, the Army Wife Network core team.
Well, hello, and welcome to the show. We're so glad you could join us today. You're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio, the internet podcast designed specifically for you by the Army Wife Network core team. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff. This is show number 640, and today is Monday, February 26, 2018.
And I'm your co-host, Amber Buzinski. We have a great show planned for you this evening, and our featured guest tonight is Dr. Brian Hargis, who will tell us why he says marriage is a four-letter word. Plus, our new Six Charlotte will be calling in with your need-to-know news, and coming up later is our monthly Money Minute from In Charge.
If you're listening to our show live this evening, we'd love for you to join us over in our show discussion currently taking place over on Twitter. Comment on the show, ask questions of our guests, or just hang out with the AWN core team and chat with us. Head over to twitter.com/Army Wife Network and be sure to use hashtag Army Wife to participate. We're also adding all the links mentioned in the show this evening in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com.
And tonight's show is brought to you by our AWTR show sponsor, MetLife. Military spouses do so much for their families, and that's why they need life insurance. Enroll today and learn more at www.militarybenefit.org or call 1-877-MDA-1020.
Well, Amber, it is so great to be hosting with you this evening. How's life in your corner of the world? What's going on in North Carolina?
It is busy. I'm like actually sitting here like this is my moment of kind of relaxation right now because it's just been so hectic.
What's been going on?
Well, Josh, my husband, is coming home soon from his deployment, so just kind of getting things. I know a lot of people say, you know, they hate when people, you know, I tell them, oh, that time flew by, but for me, it really did, and so I'm just trying to, you know, tie up loose ends over here. I kind of got a little, I kept the area of the house that you come into clean, but there's areas of the house that aren't so clean. So I kind of like tidy up. I'm just, I don't know. It's just so much on that to-do list to do. So I'm really trying to get it all knocked out. And but I'm excited.
So out of curiosity, what kind of things are on your to-do list? Like, is there anything specific that you like to have ready for when your husband comes home or anything special you do? Do you have any traditions?
Well, usually, when he's been gone for schools or other things, I'll decorate or get a welcome home sign or something. So one, and it'll be coming soon, but I'm so excited. It's a huge like vinyl type of build. What would you call it? Sign? I was going to say billboard, but it's a sign. So I'm getting that soon. And one of the things on my to-do list, which isn't like cleaning, but it's working out. And I've gotten kind of lazy with working out. But I want to feel good, you know, when he comes back and just feel good about myself and, you know, just look good for him, I guess. that's one of the things on my to-do list. But yeah, it gets me a little bit nervous too, because I feel like you're prepping for like a big first date or something, you know, that excitement, but you're nervous and, you know, I don't know. So there's a lot of feelings there.
So how long has he been gone now?
I want to say like 7 months, I think. I'm trying to,
wow.
I always, I don't keep good track of time, but I think it's been about 7 months.
Wow. So that is exciting. Now you have three kids or four kids?
I have four. With that too.
They're pretty little still. I was going to ask, how much are they aware of what's going on?
I mean, my second to youngest, she's three, and she kind of doesn't really have a perception of, you know, what's going on. She knows he's been gone for a while. She'll say, "Dad's been gone long, long time," you know, and we have our like paper chain to take the paper off each day, and so they know the time's getting there. So they're excited. It just accounts like, you know, Christmas is coming up to them, but, luckily, it hasn't been too bad. Maybe as they get older, they might kind of understand more, like, oh, he's not here. He has only this much more months left to go, you know. But I think since they are young still, it's not as bad, luckily. So, but we're still very excited. And I know you have something coming up too, right?
Yeah, talking about trips and visits and stuff. My daughter, my older daughter, and my grandson and my son-in-law are coming to visit next month. So we've been kind of planning what to do. They've planned it to coincide with spring break here. And so we're trying to plan touristy things. And I'm so excited. It's my grandson, he's just shy of two. And so every month it seems like, every time I see him, it seems like he just sprouts up. And I can't keep up with his growth spurts. And so I'm excited to see him. And thankfully we've been able to keep in touch through Skype. And and my daughter is really great about recording cute little videos, and we have a page that's a secret page on Facebook just for both my daughters and I and my grandchildren to kind of keep in touch that way so that we can upload, you know, pictures or little videos or something where I can see them. Like one was she had recorded this video of him making animal noises. He's really gotten into you know, making the different animal noises. He loves animals. And so when I miss him, I'll play that video or
that is such a cool idea, though. That is just, I mean, because it's just you guys and you get to enjoy, and she can post as many pictures or videos as she wants. And, you know, you guys
kind of a way to archive it.
That's a great idea.
And then I also will go live in that group just between my kids and grandkids and I.
Yeah.
And I read stories to them. And so if they don't hop on when I'm live, then they can still watch that later. And because I have a granddaughter that's almost eight as well. And so I'll read them books and show them the pictures and the books. And so they get to play those videos over and over too. So
that's cool. I love that. Has your daughter been to Hawaii before, or is this their first time?
Yep, this will be their first time, and so hopefully it won't be so
perfect,
rainy.
Then. Oh yeah,
we're in rainy season.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, and when they say rainy season, they really mean rainy season. It rains. It feels like it rains constantly. So hopefully it will kind of be on the tail end of that when they come. Hawaii is still beautiful anyway. We'll find plenty of things to do, but we're getting
exciting
that
is.
So
I'm excited for you.
And speaking of visits and trips this week on our AWN blog, Jolene McNutt, one of our contributors, shares ways that we can vacation on a military budget. Like many families, Jolene and her family love to travel. She explains that she doesn't have many hobbies, but planning their next spot to visit is near the top of her list. Great Travel Resources is one of her favorite perks of being connected to the Army, like a free national park pass. In this blog post, Jolene talks about military-only resorts run by the Armed Forces Recreation Centers. The Armed Forces Recreation Centers listed in this post offer great benefits at a fraction of the cost of nearby hotels and resorts. Room rates are based on rank. Put these on your bucket list and get planning for your next getaway. To read more of Jolene's travel hints, head over to our blog on armywifenetwork.com and look for her post, Yes, You Can Vacation on a Military Budget. So, Amber, do you and your family like to travel, and do you take advantage of those discounts that the military can receive?
We do love to travel. It just depends where we're going. But actually, we're planning to go to California soon. So Disneyland, we're hoping we can find some good deals. I know there's a lot of Disney, you know, discounts for military. So we try to take advantage of stuff like that, definitely. But, yeah, so what about you?
Well, we love to travel a lot. So I'm still trying to remember to ask for the discounts. I always tend to forget, you know, and I'll think of other other discounts, and my husband will remind me to always ask for the military discounts, because the worst they can say is no. That's all they can, you know, it's either yes or no. So no problem in asking that. And so I try to remember to ask. Everywhere we go, I've been kind of surprised by all the different discounts that we can get. So, you know, different hotels, even ones that don't typically advertise them, museums and amusement parks. So always ask.
Yes, those are good. Great advice. And I know even a simple Google search, you just pop on there, and it just, there's so much. Like you said, I can't believe how much there is available if you got to do a little legwork. But see here. So speaking of some things to know about, on our AWN social media, blog contributor Rachel Moda pens a letter which candidly shares the awkward feeling she gets as she strives to make connections and meet people in the new community. She writes, I am self-doubting, hopeful, confused, and learning all at the same time. I smile at you as you pass by, or at the school drop-off, or talk your ear off every week at cheer practice. I am the woman, the Army wife, the mother of three, who is starting my life all over in a brand new state and brand new town. Read her letter and add to the discussion by going to our Facebook page, or go to our website and search for the post, Dear Stranger. And as a reminder, links to everything we've talked about tonight will be posting in our Twitter feed and in the comment section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. Crystal, can you relate to Rachel when you try to navigate a new duty station?
Oh, yes. I have all those feelings and probably more. How about you?
Yes, definitely. I'm a little bit more reserved sometimes, but kind of meeting people, well, other moms through the kids, you know, the playground or church. If you go to church, it kind of helps. But it definitely, you know, I'm not kind of like a, hey, you know, I'm new to the neighborhood type of a person. I kind of take my time a little bit.
Yeah, me too. I like to kind of stay in the background and observe, you know, before I kind of step out and get involved. I think I just feel more comfortable when I do that. So,
definitely.
Yep. Well, it is time now for a short commercial break. Up next is our News 6 Charlotte, bringing us your need to know news. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The government spends billions of dollars to protect the country. Protecting your family starts at $250 a month. Find out about life insurance from Military Benefit Association. Learn more now.
The Breastfeeding Shop is an authorized TRICARE provider for breast pumps and accessories, shipping to all of the USA and worldwide for TRICARE. The Breastfeeding Shop specializes in helping the military moms get the best breast pump possible and prides themselves in providing the best customer service possible, as well as a very quick turnaround time. Check out their easy-to-use online ordering form on their website at www.thebreastfeedingshop.com or call toll-free 866-255-779. Also visit the Breastfeeding Shop on Facebook and check out the rave reviews from other moms at facebook.com/thebreastfeedingshop.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary film The C Word, and I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. To be breakthrough is to be brave. Many small breakthroughs can lead inevitably to a big breakthrough, the kinds of breakthroughs that advance the fight against cancer, the ones that save lives by the millions. You are the breakthrough. You, the patients taking part in clinical trials. You, the scientists doing next-level research to beat cancer. You, the doctors and nurses who tirelessly care for everyone along the way. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Stand Up to Cancer is a program of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you.
Welcome back, listeners. We have our News 6 Charlotte on the line, bringing us your need-to-know news. Hey, Charlotte, what have you got for us this week?
Hi, Crystal and Amber. As we enter spring, young people across the nation are making plans for the direction of their life after high school. What college to attend, how are they going to pay for school, etc. I want to share some words of wisdom from a commentary I recently came across written by Major General Jeffrey Snow regarding youth making informed decisions about their futures. Recently, the commander for U.S. Army Recruiting Command, Major General Jeffrey Snow, an Army officer for over 30 years, commented on whether or not today's youth are being given all the information out there to make informed decisions about their future. Snow stated that about 50% of the young people today admit that they know nothing about our nation's military. In his travels, he found most people he met believed the U.S. Army is only about combat.
Wow, that's interesting information. What are some of the career fields available to those thinking about entering the service?
Well, soldiers are doctors, engineers, truck drivers, IT specialists, paralegals, logisticians, and so much more. There are actually 150 different careers to choose from. You can gain technical experience and certifications, plus you can also get your degree in the U.S. Army. Almost every professional job in the private sector is also a job in the military. Our Army is filled with technologically advanced equipment, but that means nothing without talented, well-educated, and trained soldiers to operate the equipment and make strategic decisions on its use.
Charlotte, I've heard the post-9/11 GI Bill widely advertised, but what else do young people need to know about getting their education in the military?
Well, General Snow stated college graduates are averaging about $30,000 in student loan debt. The Army alone spent $162 million on tuition assistance last year in order for current soldiers to earn degrees. However, this is separate from the GI Bill. The U.S. Army Reserve Officers Training Corps offers approximately $300 million in scholarships each year for students at about 1,000 universities, ranging from Harvard and Princeton to Berkeley and Ohio State. The U.S. Army is the largest single provider of college scholarships in the nation. In the healthcare field, the Army offers full scholarships for accredited medical, dental, veterinary, nurse practitioner, and optometry programs.
Now, there's a lot of media attention and commercials and programs out there already, but what else can we do to get the word out?
Some things that may help is for our educators to welcome military recruiters into schools, parents and community leaders to encourage students who are considering military service, and our veterans can help educate communities about how serving has positively impacted their lives.
Charlotte, I'm curious, why is it so important that we keep our military educated and strong?
Veterans are more likely to vote, volunteer, and be involved in their communities. Student veterans using the post-9/11 GI Bill are more likely to graduate, have a higher GPA, and earn academically rigorous degrees than their non-veteran counterparts. General Snow stated that if it ever gets to the point when people stop wanting to raise their right hand to serve, it's not only a challenge for the military, but it's also a national security issue for the nation. It's time we see military service for what it truly is, a competitive advantage in the workplace. A societal paradigm shift is needed to protect the future of those who volunteer to protect us. Yes, Uncle Sam still needs us, all of us.
Wow, well said, Charlotte. Thanks so much for bringing us this story. Listeners, please stay tuned. After this short break, we'll be talking with Dr. Brian Hargis, who will tell us why he says marriage is a four-letter word. We'll be right back.
We're more connected than ever before. 90% of America's students use some form of social media, but not all of it's used in a good way. Hurtful posts online are leading to social isolation for many. Psychologists say it's bullying in a brand new way. Well, Beyond Differences and I Keep Safe are looking to change that with ideas for students, their parents, and even teachers. Take the pledge to be kind online and learn more at wearekindonline.com.
Hi, everyone. It's Jack Black coming to you from the set of Jumanji.
We have to save Jumanji.
Libraries and librarians transform lives every day through digital literacy, discovery, and lifelong learning.
Let's go, people.
Yes!
There's no puzzle too tough or challenge too great.
We can help each other.
For your librarian, find the clues to solve your next quest at the library.
A message from the American Library Association's Libraries Transform campaign and Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Do you have a product or service to offer our listeners? Reach thousands of military families worldwide via Army Wife Network. ArmyWifeNetwork.com has a limited number of sponsorship opportunities available. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com/sponsorship or email us at info@ArmyWifeNetwork.com for details.
Welcome back to Army Wife Talk Radio. I'm your host, Crystal Niehoff.
And I'm your co-host, Amber Baczynski. Tonight we have with us Dr. Brian Hargis. Brian's journey began in 1991 when he joined the U.S. Army. In 1996, he graduated as a Green Beret and served in Special Forces. Although no longer a stranger, danger or deployments, those years took a toll on his family and faith. But in 2001, his life was forever changed.
Following the new path, Brian ordained and served as an assistant pastor, youth leader, counselor, and both hospital and jail chaplain. Surrendering to the military call in 2007, Brian became an Army chaplain to serve the community where divorce continues to increase. Through counseling, training, and mentoring soldiers, families, and church congregations, his mission remains the same: bring help, hope, and healing to the hurting. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Hey, thanks, Crystal. Hi, Amber.
Hi, Ryan.
So glad to have
you
on.
Good to be here.
Well, for us, it's not evening. I know you're calling in from Hawaii as well. And for us, it's 3:30 in the afternoon. But, well, Brian, would you start us off by telling us a bit about yourself and your family?
Sure will. Thanks, Crystal. Hey, Tracy and I are a military family. We've been married for 25 years. I've been in the Army for 26 years. Some of my time was in the National Guard. But Tracy and I have three boys, Levi, Isaac, and Jordan. And the oldest, Jordan, he's in ROTC in college in Ohio, and he was just recently engaged a few days ago to a fascinating, wonderful chaplain's daughter. So they're looking to get married next year. We're very proud of them.
Awesome, and congratulations to them and to you and Tracy.
Thank you.
Well, that's exciting. Going to your book a little bit, your biography in the book shows that you were an enlisted soldier for 16 years before becoming a chaplain. So could you tell us more about this?
Sure, yes. Now, you know, I'm sure many listening are connected to both all the ranks and all the various MOSs or the jobs that are in the Army. And, hey, I can identify with you. I mean, I joined in 1991 as a supply clerk, and then I moved on to be an infantryman. And then later I joined Special Forces before becoming a chaplain. So I guess the point is, you know, that I can identify because from E1 to E8 or O2 to O4, both Tracy and I understand what it's like to start at the bottom and work through deployments and multiple assignments. So I think this creates a good platform for to be able to reach the listening and the reading audience.
Right. Well, with all your experience, you know, your different MOSs and all the things you've got going on, what was your inspiration for writing this book?
Well, it started, Crystal, back in 2009 when I was headed to Afghanistan, and I began studying Islam more closely. And I remember beginning writing about it. I was preparing a thesis for my doctorate, and I wanted to call it basically something like Islam for Dummies or Islam for Christians so we can better understand the religion. But after about 15,000 words and actually being in Afghanistan and researching it, I began to lose interest because I was just overwhelmed by counseling that had to do with marriages and restoration and forgiveness. And by then, I was through half of a year through deployment, and it occurred to me that, Crystal, the world doesn't need another book about Islam. I mean, our marriages all around us are falling apart, and divorces anywhere from 49 to 51%. So we need help in marriages. So I began to write an article for the Family Readiness Group, and I called it Improving Your Marital Foxhole. And that became Chapter 8 of the book.
Oh, okay. The title of your book, Marriage is a Four-Letter Word, what does that mean?
Well, when you think about the four-letter word, you know, you ask around and say, hey, did you know marriage is a four-letter word? What do you think that means? And I get a lot of responses. I remember asking a soldier at the motor pool, and he said, Chaplain, it's hell. And I joked with him. I said, yeah, it can be hell, but actually it's work. It's work, W-O-R-T, because it takes work to keep the love alive. It takes work to continue to pour into it, because marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100 and 100. Marriage, it's not a short sprint to the finish line. It's a lifelong lasting marathon. And man, unless we can keep the love alive and pour work into it, then we're never going to get to where we need to be as a couple.
Wow. I know that was one of the first things that I asked Tracy when she was telling me about your book. And what's the four-letter word, you know, and I have all these different words going around in my mind until she finally told me. But that really does make sense, and really that's not really a word we want to hear either.
There's a lot of people out there that say, well, it's love. And it absolutely takes love. And if you research on Google, you'll see marriage books on love and the four-letter word of marriage. There's a few others out there with similar titles. But it really takes love, and it takes a lot of work to keep that love alive, to maintain, you know, to have those butterflies that you once had when you first started dating, and to continue that when you're old and you're still holding hands, walking down the sidewalk. It takes some work.
Right, absolutely. And love, many years ago, I had a pastor explain to me that love isn't something that we feel. It's not a noun. It's a verb. We have to choose it. We have to do it. And so very much like work. And so, in fact, you could almost put that in the same category, because I know, like with my children, I love them a lot, but I don't often want to get up in the middle of the night when they're sick. But you do that. You get up, you work, and you do that out of love. And much the same way with a marriage, you work on it because you're choosing to love that person and choosing to do what's best for them and for you and for the relationship. So in chapter one, you wrote about owning and leasing as compared to a home, which I found interesting. What did you mean by that?
Well, Crystal, you know, think about how that many people, they just don't take ownership of their marriage. I mean, they're like a renter or a leaser. Think about renting or living on a military installation or off a military installation. When you just rent a home or an apartment and the plumbing backs up, who do you call?
A plumber.
Of course. Now, if the air conditioning stops or the roof begins to leak, you have to call a repairman. But that's going to go through the owner of the home, because you're a tenant when you're renting. It's not your responsibility to fix the plumbing or to fix the air conditioner or to fix the hole that's leaking, because you're renting. You don't own the home. But when you own a home and the plumbing backs up or the AC stops or the roof leaks, if you let that go, then it's just going to grow into a moldy, decaying hole like in the roof. But it's your responsibility to fix it. Well, a lot of couples, they go into relationships with a renter's mentality. And if it doesn't work out, you know, if it just doesn't seem to be working for them, they can throw up their hands and say, you know what, I'm done. And they can walk away and they don't lose anything because there's no long-term investment. But we know that when we own, when we pour into it, we get out of it what we pour into it. And that's the importance of pouring into it, because the more you pour into it, the greater your investments. And oh, by the way, let's not forget about upgrades too. Upgrades on the home, just like we would continue to upgrade and work on our marriage. That's why I think it's so important.
That's a great example. I mean, you know, there's no marriage that's perfect. You got to put into it, you know, there's the good times and the bad, like what you said, and, you know, what we say in our vows. And I think especially too in social media, you know, people paint the "my marriage looks great" picture, but, you know, and of course you want to highlight the good moments in your marriage, but it's work, you know, it's not always the butterflies, as much as, you know, sometimes you get in a little bit of a argument or whatever, and then you have to put your effort into working it through, you know. So I love that example. You devoted two chapters on identifying and eliminating problems. Why so much?
Well, I just think it's needed, because when I started thinking about it, I realized that you can't ever fix a problem until you can't ever eliminate a problem until you truly identify where the problem's coming from. I mean, too often, man, we're aggravated in marriage because we're dealing with symptoms instead of getting down to the real issue. You know, a spouse may say, well, he doesn't talk to me, or a husband may say, well, she yells and follows me around the house and, you know, nags me or whatever it might be. But we're not dealing with the true problems. Crystal and Amber, we're dealing with symptoms. So we've got to peel back the onion or peel back the layers and get down to what's causing the issue. And that's why I devoted those chapters. So I have an example for you before we go to the break. I mean, consider if your car didn't start when you went out to the parking lot today, do you just call a tow truck and tell them to take it to the junkyard, you're done with it? I mean,
no.
In reality, sounds silly, doesn't it? I mean, we try to identify the problem and fix it. Is it the battery? Is it the alternator, the starter? Is it the plugs? But how come in marriage we're too quick to give up? We're too quick to give up instead of get the help we need. We're dealing with symptoms instead of the real root core of the problem. And we can never, ever eliminate what the problems are until we get down to what the issues are. And that's why I called Chapter 2, identifying problems, and Chapter 3, eliminating problems.
So what are some ways that we could go about identifying, you know, the nagging may be something deeper.
Yes.
How do we peel away that onion to find out what it is that's really going on?
Well, when I was thinking about this today, you know, it dawned on me that so often that couples are going into marriage without any training whatsoever. So, you know, they've never been taught how to be a mother, how to be a father, how to be a wife, how to be a husband. And we're drawing upon our experiences, which many of them were negative, or maybe we didn't have that role model in our life. So it's therefore it's difficult to truly get the help you need unless you reach out and you talk to good counselors. You know, in the military we have chaplains. And by the way, for our listeners that are with us today, each one of you that are connected to the military, you have those resources. You have the military family life consultant. You have behavioral health. You have your chaplain. You have a whole community that's able to pour into your relationship that you can take advantage of, that it's important for us to get the help we need. There should be no excuse for not getting the help we need to eliminate the problem.
Right. And the neat thing about the chaplain corps is that when you do consult with a chaplain, that is completely private. They're under confidentiality, correct?
Yes, ma'am. And so much so, Crystal, that if a horrific event happened, whether it involved a child or a spouse, whatever it might be, when they come to a chaplain, they have that confidentiality, those privileges, so that we cannot even testify in court against them. That's how much confidence they can have in that system. And that extends from every chaplain within our military, whatever branch it may be. However, it doesn't extend to other resources that are out there, such as NFLIC or behavioral health, et cetera. There are reporting requirements, but with the U.S. Army chaplain and other branches of service as well, you have 100% confidentiality. So use them to your advantage.
Right. Good point. Well, Brian, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about some of the marital killers of a relationship.
All right. Sounds good.
Listeners, don't forget, if you're listening to our show live right now, the AWN Core team is hanging out in Twitter chat. Join in the conversation and ask questions of our guests simply by going to twitter.com/ Army Wife Network. Use hashtag Army Wife to participate. You can also find links to everything we've talked about on the show tonight in the comments section below this podcast on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be right back with more Army Wife Talk Radio in just a moment.
Tax breaks for service members in school. If you're looking for ways to offset educational expenses, consider the following federal tax breaks: the American Opportunity Credit, the Lifetime Learning Credit, or the Tuition and Fees Deduction. The American Opportunity Credit gives up to a $2,500 credit per student for tuition and fees paid during the first 2 years of degree-seeking higher education. The Lifetime Learning Credit is available for 20% of tuition expenses, up to a maximum of $4,000 per tax return for courses taken to acquire or improve job skills. The Tuition and Fees Deduction allows you to deduct qualified college tuition and related expenses of up to $4,000. This deduction is great if you do not qualify for the other credits. You can only claim one of these three in the same year, and the credit may be claimed by the parent or student, but not by both. Lastly, servicemen and women should know that expenses covered by the GI Bill cannot be claimed for any other education credits or deductions. This Money Minute is made possible by InCharge Debt Solutions. Visit us online at www.incharge.org.
You may not think of flu as a serious disease, but complications can lead to severe illness, hospitalization, and even death. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends everyone 6 months and older get a flu vaccine every year. Vaccines are available at doctor's offices, pharmacies, and local health departments. Protect yourself and your loved ones this flu season. Get a flu shot today. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
Hot. As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events, like a date with my wife, or going out together with my family and friends. Things that we couldn't afford, thanks to VetTix.
Every empty seat at a concert, a game, motorsports, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can help. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Find out how by visiting www.vettix.org. That's www.vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
Eddie!
Want to expand your military spouse information arsenal? ArmyWifeNetwork.com offers military family news and resources, experience and expert blogs, active social media, and much, much more. Visit ArmyWifeNetwork.com. Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Army Chaplain Dr. Brian Hargis, who's chatting with us about his book, Marriage is a Four-Letter Word. Before we went to break, Brian, you were explaining why you devoted two whole chapters on identifying and eliminating problems. What are some of the marital killers of a relationship as you described in Chapter 4?
Oh, wow. There's numerous things that will kill a marriage, such as some of the top reasons for divorce are financial struggles, conflicts, issues. You have infidelity. You have addictions. But the marital killers that I'm talking about usually go unnoticed or unchecked. Things such as like cursing at each other, name calling, or put downs. But there's one that I call the mother of all marital killers, and that's the D word. It's not a curse word, but I'm going to ask you, Crystal or Amber, do you have a guess for what the D word might be?
My guess is divorce.
You nailed it. That's right, because once that word is out, like in a heated argument, well, let's just get a divorce. Once it's out of your mouth, you can never, ever take it back. And if it comes out, then it comes from a heart because we bring about what we think about. And that's the danger of it. If it comes out, it's because, you know, it comes out in frustration. We've been thinking about it. So what I try to get across is let's not be so quick to run to divorce. The words that should come out of our mouth are, instead of let's get a divorce, are, hey, let's get help. So that's why I say the D word would be one of the greatest marriage killers that we could have.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good point there. And I think sometimes it just may seem appealing to be like, well, we could just throw in the towel and walk away and life will be easier, you know, and, you know, working at it, and, you know, really paying the effort. If you love that person, it's, you know, it's worth it in the end. And it's a great point. What do you mean by improve the marital foxhole that you talk about in Chapter 8 of your book?
Oh, that's a good one. Well, think about this. We have our military audience listening and those family members connected. So I used to be a drill sergeant for a few years while I was enlisted. And one of the things that we teach soldiers is how to dig a fighting position in foxholes. Every soldier learns how to dig a fighting position. It's about two weapons length or M16, M4 lengths long and about one wide. And that's what we use for defense. And over time, if the soldier is going to be there for an extended amount of time, then they begin digging with their battle buddy on security. They begin digging with their entrenching tool to make a foxhole. And if they stay there longer, those foxholes begin to connect and they begin to fortify, and they always continue to improve the foxhole. A soldier never stops improving the foxhole. Eventually, they'll have overhead cover, and you get the picture. Well, in the same sense, we should never, ever be so comfortable that we stop improving our marriage. When I look at the statistics, and I realize that the divorce years are years 5 through 8, And that's at a time when a husband and wife, they become comfortable, they've got more bills, they have children, they have, you know, just a lot more expectations, a lot more responsibilities. And over time, their emphasis begins to shift. It's no longer dedicated one towards another, but it's just on all the priorities. I mean, it's just life. But we've got to be tenacious. We've got to really pour into improving our marital foxhole. And that's by little things. Little things make big change. Like, little things would be like love notes or little hot, steamy text messages. And keep the emphasis on keeping the love alive and improving that marital foxhole. Going to strong bonds, going to marriage retreats, pouring into our families, having family time. If we're not careful, those things will go and they'll fall by the wayside. We have to continue to improve the marriage foxhole.
What a fantastic visual. I mean, or at least for me, because that is so true. We tend, you know, when we first go into marriage, we're all gung-ho. You know, we're all lovey and everything's great and we're happy. And even the little annoyances like, you know, underwear left on the floor or dirty dishes left in the sink, we can kind of work past that. And I love the visual of the foxhole because I guess it from, you know, and that the soldier is always working to improve that. And that is kind of the same in marriage in that if we don't continue to improve that, then all the little things get bigger and more annoying. And instead of working together as battle buddies together to defend our marriage against divorce or against even discontentment and misery, you know, just being miserable in the marriage, and instead of working together to combat that, then we become we start battling against each other, and we become enemies. And so that visual for me, and how you said the little things like cursing and name calling and using the D word, that we just so loosely speak, you know, and how we can so easily combat that by the little things like love notes and texts, maybe doing things for each other and for our children. Because I know when my husband, when he does something for my kids, he's done something for me.
Oh, so, wow, yeah.
It's a marriage builder. So I really appreciate that, that visual. That helps me personally. So with that said, your next in chapter 9, I love the title, A Reasonable Rule for Raising Rugrats. What parenting tips do you have for military families that are listening in today?
Oh, wow. This is a good chapter. I know that many of our struggles, and our listeners are, you know, perhaps probably 70-80% of our listeners have children, and I heard a little baby in the background earlier, so I know that it's important. And I don't know that many couples go to parenting classes. I mean, you know that your soldier goes through 6 to 8 to 16 weeks of training to be a soldier, but yet we don't go to classes to teach us how to be a parent. We kind of just fall in onto it, Crystal, and we try not to do the things that were negative that we learned from the past. So some of the things I talk about in Reasonable Rules for Raising Rugrats are based upon the experience and counseling that couples are struggling with. The very first thing I start off with is to keep your bed and your bedroom private. Now I'm not going to get into a long dialogue, but this is a tough one because it doesn't mean that your children can't come in your room or your baby, you know, your baby's an infant in the crib in your room. It just means that there's got to be a time when the kids move out of your room and subsequently out of your bed, because that bedroom is your marriage chamber. That's for talking, communication, for love, for lovemaking, for all those things that unite you at the core. And unfortunately, a lot of parents begin to put their emphasis so much on their children, we call it the young parent syndrome, that after a while it begins to separate the husband and the wife in their strong relationship. And we know over time that a lot of people just keep it together for the sake of the kids instead of really fighting for their marriage. So reasonable rules for Rugrats starts with the bedroom, and it ends with, you know, pouring into your teenagers and building a relationship, because rules without a relationship only produces rebellion. And we want to have a relationship with our teens, and it starts early on, shortly after the time they're born, is building that relationship.
Oh, that is so true. I call it tying heartstrings. And, you know, that most parents don't have classes. And I was blessed because as a foster parent and a child welfare worker, I had the foster parenting classes it was after my first two were born, but it helped in my subsequent parenting with my other children. But and then also being able to teach those classes and realizing that is something that seems to be missing, I feel personally, in the military, is that we're so transient. We move around and we don't have our families to fall back on as easily. You know, mom can't always be there when you're not sure what to do with a colicky baby, or when the fever's too high, or the example of grandma loving grandpa well into, you know, through cancer or, you know, whatever. Yeah. Those relationships. So that just really struck that with me. And I call that tying heartstrings. You know, you've got to have the relationship to be able to discipline. And even then, discipline is, I believe it's Latin for discipleship. So really teaching our children goes a lot further than always disciplining them, if that makes sense.
Right.
So
sure does.
With that
and that's true what you said, Crystal, is the, you know, when we move around and we don't have you know, some of our relatives or family members to, you know, get the example of relationships. I mean, I take for granted some of the you know, classes or things that they have available for families and parenting classes, because, you know, I have four little ones, and you kind of take for granted those things that are available to you. So it's good to look into that a little bit more. To your book, let's see, you finish your book with a chapter about forgiving and forgetting. How do you do that?
Well, Amber, first of all, forgiving is a choice and forgetting is a process. Because you never, ever, ever truly forget. But you don't have to keep pulling out the file, the cabinet drawer, and opening up the file and refreshing yourself with the notes. So often we do that. So it takes, you know, there's a process. Like I said, you never, ever truly forget. And then when you talk about forgiveness, though, if we cannot bring ourselves to a point to forgive, then we become the prisoner. I think Matthew West sings a song about forgiveness, and we become a prisoner. That's the person that's locked up inside due to bitterness and anger and resentment. Now, forgiveness doesn't mean that you let the other person off the hook or they can get away with it. Forgiveness just frees yourself up from being a prisoner, so that you're not continuing to pull out the file drawer and review the files. And that's why it's so important in a relationship. If we cannot bring ourselves to a point to forgive and choose to keep that stuff in the drawer, then we are only harming our relationship and widening the gap of separation mentally, physically, and even spiritually.
Mm-hmm. So true. Well, forgiving and forgetting and reminding us to keep improving our marital foxhole, what else would you say would be maybe perhaps your greatest tip that you can give military couples listening to the broadcast?
I was thinking about this, and, you know, it comes up a lot. How, you know, if you ask older veteran couples that have been married for 50 years, you know, what is the key? And someone would say trust, and many would say patience. And I believe it's all of that. But I found out that the older I get, it just comes down to serving one another, having a heart that wants to help one another and submitting to one another. You know, some people take the word submit as an odd word that means you're giving up your wants or your will's desires, but that's not what it is. It just means that you're putting the other person as number one. And if they're number one and they put you as number one, then that means you're both number one. Both get love, both get respect, and that equals trust, that equals connectedness. I would say just giving of yourself one to another.
I love that. That is so true. And I like something else you said earlier about, you know, you're still kind of dating that person, getting to know them more and building and serving them. And that's great. I mean, what Crystal was talking about earlier as well, you know, you're gung-ho when you're first married and you have the butterflies and you're just excited and you're in love. And, you know, that shouldn't have to stop, you know, with the years of marriage. You know, you should still try to do those cute little things, send those, you know, steamy texts, like you said, and do those things.
Yeah.
I love that. How is your book different from other books about marriage?
Oh, there's so many books about marriage out there, and they're all so helpful. They really are. I would say, you know, pick a handful of them and read what helps you the most. But I wrote mine from a different perspective. I believe this is from a soldier's perspective to soldiers, from NCO to NCO, from an officer to other officers, from a minister, like to a church, a father to husbands, and so forth. I mean, in this book, it's shared experiences from the military, experiences from a journey, from counseling, from all these things to try to help specifically military couples. And in the future, I hope to have an edition that puts like a check on learning at the end. But hey, what I'm trying to do, Amber and Crystal, through this book is three things, and it's really simple. I'm just trying to get the cold ones warm, the warm ones hot, and keep the hot ones hot. And it takes a little bit of work.
Oh, definitely. Well, I have one quick question from a listener that had just written in, and she is asking, what has been your biggest challenge in working with marriages?
Well, and the largest challenge I faced throughout the years, at least 10 years as a chaplain in counseling, a little bit of time in ministry, is that we have new generations of young people that are so quick to throw in the towel, as you mentioned. And I call it fast food marriages. If it doesn't go right, then they're just so quick to say, you know what, I'm done. And we see that repeated over and over. And it's almost like we have children raising children. I'm not trying to put down a generation. I'm just saying that there is a lot of training that in information and even counseling that they've never been given. They don't necessarily have the role models of mothers and fathers. And when you're looking at one out of every three homes on a block is of a single parent, you know, it makes it difficult to show the family dynamics and how it works. So working with young couples and trying to instill and impart in them the values they need to go the distance, that is truly a challenge. But with God, all things are possible, and we can do it.
Oh, that's excellent. And then I have one more, not to put you on the spot, but I have a gal that's asking, has writing this book helped you in your own marriage?
Absolutely, because I can't be a hypocrite. You know, I truly practice what I preach. And like Paul said, the apostle, he said, I cannot do all these things and in my own life become a castaway. He said, I can't do this. So it has helped encourage me. Plus, Tracy and I, we teach strong bonds and marriage enrichment to churches. She just got certified last December for Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. And in fact, Crystal and Amber, this weekend, we are headed to Waikiki. We have a three-day strong bonds retreat, and her and I are going to co-teach to 30 couples Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. It's going to be exciting.
Awesome. I've heard those are fun.
Well, you brought so much good information and this freshness, and I mean, it just so many good reminders of marriage and importance of it and how to, you know, work through some things and keep that fire alive. So where can our listeners go to get a copy of your book? marriage is a four-letter word, and connect with you on social media.
Okay, well, they can hit my website. It's just www.brianhargis.com. And on there, they can hit the tab for the book, and they can order that and get free shipping. I do know that Barnes & Noble offers it online, and Amazon has an ebook as well you can download for your iPad and whatnot. And then ChristianBooks.com, I believe they have it on sale right now. But there's, you know, you can Google it and find it. But for free shipping, you can hit my website and connect with me, BrianHargis.com.
Well, awesome. Brian, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Wow. Thank you, Amber. Thank you, Crystal. It's been awesome.
Have a great evening.
You too.
Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to tune in next week, Monday, March 5th, 2018, when our featured guest will be Susan Miller, who will share with us her insight and advice for what to do after the boxes are unpacked. It's going to be another encouraging and empowering show. You don't want to miss it.
And in the meantime, join us on www.armywifenetwork.com to stay connected to resources, information, expert columnists, and share the journey with many of our experienced contributors, or follow along on any of our social media outlets such as Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives. This is Army Wife Network's core team signing out.
Thank you for tuning into Army Wife Talk Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal.
Army Wife Talk Radio is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. And inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD,
any local government, or their agencies.
Until the next episode, head over to ArmyWifeNetwork.com.
Your interactive empowerment for Army Wives by Army Wives.